with Bishop. I think after this week we're going to go on to other things. So, we talked about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi last time. And Kli Shlishi is a matter of controversy, the great Achrayim. It's mentioned in Shas. So what are we to make of that? So there are those, the Chassam Sofer, the Pechodesh, take it to mean that this Kli Rishon and non-Kli Rishon, that's it. Non-Kli Rishons are all the same. The Prima Godnim and Ramesh Feinstein Zatzal took it to mean that Kli Shlishi is not discussed for any type of Bishul because it can't cook. It's out of the parasha of Bishul altogether. So we have two opposing stances. And so we don't have a unified, you know, accepted Hachra in the world. Yesh v'yesh, some follow the Shita, some follow the other Shita. The Chavetz Chaim, Zeich HaTzadik, the Kodesh Nevrocha, signed off at least on some measure of Pshar between these two Shitas. That much he signed off on. So he mentioned also that you can have different types of Bishul. There's dry heat and wet heat. And so if something is baked and then you put it into a Kli Rishon with wet heat, so we're machmer that there can be Bishul a second time because the other was a fear. We have a machmer and a Kli Sheni. We're concerned as well. How about when it comes to a Kli Shlishi? What's the difference? So there Chovetz Chaim writes that with the Kli Shlishi, we have two prevailing factors lahater, and because they come in combination, dayenu, that we don't have to be machmer. There are those, of course, that say that there's no afiyah, officially after afiyah. Cooked is cooked. How it was cooked is irrelevant. So dayenu, we're machmer, that we say there is such a thing, there's bishul after afiyah, afiyah after bishul. That's in a Kli Sheni, which could cook, and a Kli Shlishi, which others say, even if it was totally uncooked, not Shayach Bishul. So with the combination of those two factors, that it's a Kli Shlishi, and we're dealing with Afiyah, after Bishul, after Afiyah, so the Chofetz Chaim is Meikul in that case. That's the case, it's clearly Meikul. So this type of approach, first of all, something interesting which emerged recently. I was not fully cognizant of the Matthias until very recently. Someone wanted to know, I was asked many times, if you can use a Keurig, you know, to make coffee on Shabbos. So, no, there's one that you just pour the water into. Yeah, a handheld version. So I don't use either of them. It's not, it happened to be that I like coffee very much, but it doesn't like me so much. So I have to admire it more often from the distance. You know, if I go by the coffee factory, I get a big rush smelling the coffee being roasted. But I most of the time I have to suffice with that. So the shaila is, could you make this in a Kli Shlishi on Shabbos? So there are two shailas. There's a shaila of Beurah and a shaila of Bishul. So let's go one by one. The Beurah Shaila, without being precise about the Lumdus, but the Beurah Shaila is already addressed really in the Shulchan Aruch directly. For example, I cannot take wine which has sediment mixed into it and dump it into a filter on Shabbos. That would constitute Beurah, the separation of the sediments and the wine. Suppose I have sediments and the sediments contain some wine and it's already in a filter already. Left from before Shabbos. Now, what one does at that point is you add water to it, and the water flushes the remainder of the wine out of the sediments. So can I put water into this? I have a filter, and I strained wine before Shabbos, a filtered wine before Shabbos, and now I have the sediments are left in the filter. So I'm going to pour water over the sediments on Shabbos, and that'll pull out whatever wine is left. So the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is, and Shini tested, it's mutter to do so. I think the lumnis is, I'm not 100% sure, I never understood it fully, and I lower Yanti clearly enough into it, but I think the lumnis runs along these lines. That I had water and I dumped in liquid, it temporarily mixed together with the solid and it came out liquid. So therefore there's no active burner that's involved. In other words, the fact that in a transient position it was mixed together with the sediments, but I started with liquid and I ended up with liquid and it was temporarily mixed with something else, does not constitute burner. I think that's probably the Hezbo in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the case in the Shulchan Aruch. So from that, we can learn something very important. So in our case, if I dump water into a filter, and the filter has coffee grounds in it, so it had coffee grounds, now I dumped water on that, and now the water emerges. So this time, instead of coming out with schlepping the wine out, it takes some flavor of the coffee out with it. It's also not burr. So burr, I'm not over. That's clear enough in the Shulchan Aruch that I'm not going to be over burr. But how about the bishul aspect? Is the bishul? So I tended to think that this was dependent on the machlokes. If you wanted to use it in a kli shlishi, meaning put it into a kli sheni and then pour from a kli shlishi onto the coffee, that should be totally dependent on this machlokes that we just touched upon. That if you are though of the mind that kli shlishi is not bishul, so it's fine. And if kli shlishi is bishul, it's not so fine. But then it was brought to my attention that the coffee that we're dealing with was roasted already. I'm not sure. I'm a little bit confused with the process is. I don't know if this is a dry, it's dry roasted or it's roasted with steam. I'm not 100% sure which the process is. But be that as it may, no matter what the process is, even if it's dry roasted, let's take the worst case scenario. What?
So
bishul achatzli is the same as bishul acharfi. It's a problem. But it's a kli shlishi now. And at a kli shlishi, the Chofetz Chaim is meikel. So the chayra, even if a machmer, not to normally use kli shlishi, but in this case, we're at the worst, it's bishul after sleep. So the Chofetz Chaim would sign off that it's mutter. So those that like this type of fresh brewed coffee on Shabbos can actually make it. Hey, of course by hand.
How is it a kli shlishi?
You pour the water from the kettle into a cup. That's klisheni.
Oh, you pour it into a cup?
Right? Yes, and then I pour from that cup into the machine. Iri klisheni, the Prima Gadol says, it's a halach of klishlishi. So this is a new find. This is a new find, just discovered recently.
You could take the regular coffee grind, put it into something like a cup over a glass, with a filter, put the coffee grinds in and then pour the water in.
If it's, if the water is coming out of a klisheni, it's mutter. Yes, exactly.
I always thought that's special.
Okay, so apparently the coffee, they tell me, just check that the coffee, the aficionados tell me that the coffee is roasted. Which makes sense, coffee is usually roasted. I don't believe they sell you raw coffee. They sell you roasted. But as long as the coffee is roasted, then you're in good shape. So this is a chiddush in the Metzius very recently.
Just the regular coffee, I've never drank coffee in my life, but
the regular instant coffee is steamed somehow. It's some type of steam process.
So, but that would be bishul.
So Rav Moshe said he believes mitzad mi'ikra the dinner it's bishul. Now really it means you could really put it into a kli rishon off the fire. And in theory, we always start factoring in all types of chumras. But he didn't even want to put it into a cliche because he said he has a tzad that maybe it's not really the full, the regular din bishul. So maybe I should do it in a cliche.
And put it
in
the coffee grind, the instant coffee after the water.
Well, you don't have to. You could put the coffee grinds in the second cup and then pour from the second cup on it. And then you're fine.
But instant, you're saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Instant is already.
It's some type of steam process. So Rav Moshe says me ikar adin it's bishul, but he has a chumrah maybe it's not bishul, so it's better to use it in a kli shlishi. Could very well be, but that's, you know, this is an easy chumrah to keep. Some chumrahs are hard, some are easy. You know, you get credit for a few easy ones at least.
you can put your coffee grinds into the thing, is it different than wine sediments, so you can't put them in on Shabbos?
Where?
Let's say you're making in your cliché.
Yeah, it's on a regular coffee?
What's regular, you have your filter.
Oh, filter. So what's your problem? You pour from, you put out your filter with your coffee grinds and you pour the hot water over.
The coffee grinds in before Shabbos.
No, I don't have to put in the whole
wine sediments. With it.
Because the wine sediments were mixed with wine. If you put them in, you may filter it on Shabbos through a filter. Dry coffee grinds, there's nothing to filter. Nothing's coming out.
Sure,
wine, the coffee. No. When you start off, you're starting with dry grinds when you put it into the filter. So there's nothing coming out.
Well, why isn't pouring the water into the grounds between when the water...
It's a good question, but the Shulchan Aruch says it's not. So I presume the reason is because this is only considered a transient state. And therefore, there's no kfiyah, since it's put in a way that it's going to come out right away from the bottom. That's what I presume is the reason. But you're entitled to learn the Shulchan Aruch and make your own pshat. But the din is clear. Now... let me share with you about, back when I was once 20 years old, not so many years ago, but I was once 20 years old, so back around that time, approximately. So the guys that I sat with on Shabbos and Yeshiva, so one of our favorite shaylos at the time was the following. We said last time that there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim in terms of Bishul Achar Bishul. That the Sfaradim say that by a liquid, once it goes under Yad Soledes, there's Bishul again. And the Ashkenazim say as long as it's still warm, there's no Bishul. But the Ramah says once it goes back to room temperature, some type of Chumrah. Everyone agrees. It's not Me'ikra the dinner, it's some type of Chumrah. The Chumrah, some learn the Chumrah is because it looks like you're taking something out of a refrigerator and cooking it. Since it's totally cold, he said the whole inyan of chazorah, being allowed to put things back onto the blech, is because it looks like it's a continuation of where it was before. But here, where it became cold back to room temperature, so there's no connection with before. That's one of the pshatim in the Ramah. But it's some type of chumrah. I'll call upon him. So a liquid which returned to room temperature, so that we don't cook again. Now we have the following. This din you'll find it, I believe, in Siman Kufay in Yerodea. You should find it. That's really where it starts. Which is the following. So we have, until now, we had Kli Rishon, we had Kli Sheni, we had Kli Shlishi. Everything was nice and neat. Along came some Rishonim, and they argued the following. That if you take a clump, a potato, a clump of rice, so liquid disperses and lets its heat out. But a clump maintains heat inside. What's the first thing you do when you take a baked potato out of the oven? You take a fork and you pierce it to let all the heat come out. It's all trapped inside. So these Rishonim argue that what we call a double gush, a clump, whether it's a piece of potato, a piece of meat, or a pile of rice, but a clump is not subject to anything Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, as long as it's Yad Soledes, it has the din of a Kli Rishon to it. That's their shita. Now, the immediate implication of that is the following. Suppose you're the type that likes to put salt on your chalent on Shabbos. So table salt, you're allowed. Table salt is mavushal beforehand, and it's dry, so there's no problem. Suppose you're a little bit closer to being the gourmet type. Yes, salt is not your pepper, is your thing. Now, pepper is uncooked. Could you put pepper on your cholent on Shabbos? So we said spices can't be cooked in a Kli Sheni. That we did say. But spices do cook in a Kli Rishon. And since this potato was a din of a Kli Rishon, so I can, as long as the cholent, the solids in the cholent, the yatzo lettuce, I can't put pepper on it. That's the immediate implication.
Why is it Kli Rishon?
Because clumps always say, since
even if you took
they can take 25 spoons and 25 plates. Okay. Clumps remain because they don't liquid disperses and lets the heat out. Solids keep the heat inside. So it always is a Kli Rishon, no matter how many kelim you put it into, according to them. So pepper you can't put onto it. That's muskum. So now came the shaila like this. This wasn't really my question because I don't think it was my thing. But some of my chaverim, they liked ketchup in the chomot. So now they wanted to know, listen, could you put ketchup into the cholent on Shabbos? The cholent has a din of kli rishon. The ketchup is a liquid that's cold. So the Rama says that we're machmer that you can't do such a thing on Shabbos. Take a cold thing and put it back in a kli rishon. You certainly can't do. So can you do this on Shabbos? This was one of the matters of concern. You know, and I don't remember what the arguments, how they went, but this was one of the shyness that we always had. And somewhere, some 40-some odd years back, Rav Moshe put out a bunch of new tshuvas came out from Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe addressed the shyness head on. And there you see the difference between great poskim and those that dabble. Those that dabble know a lot of facts. But all the facts are xeros akosuf. Brachos bara Elokim, Eila told us Noach, that's it, you know. The cold, dry facts. Great poskim understand exactly what the fact is they're looking at, what makes it a fact, what it's built on, what its weight is, what its strength is in the halacha. It's not amorphous. It has a shape, it has a weight. You know, when Yosef was a tzal, he didn't tell you that there's some shyness and tshuvas that wrote this and this. That was not in his game plan. In his game plan, every shyness and tshuva had a weight, whether it was clearly correct in the Rishonim, clearly incorrect in the Rishonim, or indeterminate. But they all had a weight. And that's how he, you know, played it out, based on the weight that he assigned each one based on his rayas from Shas. And I once asked him a shayla nechus yontif, and he passed in a certain way, and I came back the next day, and I tainted him, there's a true ksav sefer, it says otherwise. So he says to me, no, he says, the ksav sefer is built on the Pnei Yeshua's pshat and taisvus. In that taisvus, all this, they learn differently from the Pnei Yeshua. He says, but even if we grant the Pnei Yeshua his pshat, he said, but the Ramban and the Urayim disagree. So, even if Tosis holds that way, we're still not going to pass him like Tosis. So the three Rishonim that we have on the subject, two of them disagree with Tosis for sure. If that's the Pshat and Tosis altogether. So that's the way he was. He was, you know, everything had, I mean, his grip on Shas and Rishonim was such that everything was calculated on that scale. So Rav Moshe Zatzal said the following. That the fact that we're machmer, that is bishul after afil, that's a chumrah. Most rishonim don't hold from that. The shacharoch decided to be machmer lechatchila like that. She preferred, but it's a chumrah. Meikra de dino, there's no bishul achav bishul by alach altogether, no matter even if we're called fully according to the rishonim. So that's also a chumrah. He said we're not mechuyev to observe two chumrah simultaneously. And Mameila, he said, you're allowed to put ketchup into the cholent on Shabbos.
What does that do with bishul achar?
The same. I misspoke. Dover gush. I'm sorry. They're both true, but dover gush is a chumrah. And that is bishul achar bishul by something which cooled completely is also a chumrah. So we don't make a combination of those two chumras jointly. This is a theme that we often find in poskim, that, you know, we don't, there's a limitation to how many chumras we pile one on top of the other. So this is, so the Rav Moshe, because of his tfisa, because of his understanding of what exactly the weight of each halacha was able to make the calculus that we don't combine both of these and make a new monster out of it.
Does this also help for challah crumbs? If you have challah crumbs on your plate, you put the chorin down on top of the challah crumbs. So you have English lachrafia, that's a chumrah.
Well, it would depend on the following. If you put the If you put the challah down and then added the challah crumbs to it afterwards, you would arrive at that calculus. But if you put them straight down on it, then it's irikli rishon. You'd have a problem.
The crumbs don't get
put down.
Yeah.
Do you have to really worry about the crumbs? The initial, less than a shear. Sure.
Where?
On the plate. You have some crumbs that's sitting on your plate. You have no interest in.
Well, usually it's not, the metzias is not usually that way. The metzias is usually the other way around. You have the cholent and then you want, you don't usually have the crumbs before the cholent, you know? Or usually you don't serve from the pot into your plate. So good, so. Go, but that's, but according to the other sheet that somebody has a dinkli shlishi, so you wouldn't have to be concerned in that regard. You want something?
If you serve not from the pot but from a serving dish,
yeah,
on top of the crumbs,
you would not. I would not be concerned
because
according to one sheet that it's already kli shlishi already.
You were kli shlishi.
Yes. Yes.
You're saying I should take a piece of cow and dip it into my chomp and eat it. You can do that.
On your plate, yeah.
But
not in the pot.
On the plate, not.
Yeah.
But as long as you're dipping into the dava gush, it's okay. But the if you put the dava gush on the ofiya, then it's no good.
If that's the first stop from the kli rishon, that would be no good. Yeah, but that's not usually going to be the case. Not like that.
That's a little.
What?
Yeah, a little. Little would be considered.
If you don't keep the ladle, we talked about this last time. If you have a ladle. And you don't leave the ladle in, but you just spoon out with it and take it out right away, then it's the ladle itself is a cliche.
What about salad in the plate? People put salad with chalks in the plate. It's not good.
Who wants to cook their lettuce?
I don't know. I would never do such a thing, but it's not so simple.
It's something like Kish. They got one plate that had salad on it. And then all of a sudden they want choke and they have no other place.
It's not such a good thing to do. You're right. You are correct. Now.
But the choke is coming from a cliche and onto your plate.
Usually at a kiddush, the choke is coming from a cliche.
Oh, I'm talking about.
In a house, it's usually coming from a cliche, but in shul, it's coming from a clear rishon. They bring out the pan straight from the warmer.
Okay, but you take a spoon to put it on your plate, so your plate is already a cliche.
Yes and no. If the spoon is sitting inside, do it to leave in the cholent. Yeah.
The cholent on the salad was only a problem at the kiddush at home because it's a cliche.
It's not, then at least you have, according to Ramesh, it's mutter, and according to others, yesh v'yesh, is what they're talking about.
Is it mutter or mimacha that a dava gush is still a kli rishon?
So I'm saying, if...
The lettuce is raw.
Oh, and a raw lettuce, I'm sorry, the raw lettuce in a kli shlishi, yeah, would still be a dava gush issue, correct, yeah. That's right.
The beans themselves, is there a dava gush?
Yeah, the beans are probably a dava gush too. So now,
but if you have no intention, I don't know, situation with Onechola, you don't want your lettuce cooked.
Well, you're certainly not over the rice, so let's put it that way. But you know,
and with everything on it, it's still the dava gush. Why can't you be mitzarek the two there?
Listen, it's not lechatchila. I don't believe. But the ever a maskam with you. Yeah. I don't know if we touched upon this yet or not, but this is a very, very, it's a very crucial point. When I started many, many years ago to teach Hilchos Shabbos to Talmidim. So, you know, at the beginning, they said, come on, Rebbe, that's my mother's problem. What's my problem? I don't hang around, and I don't cook in the kitchen. What's it? By the time we were halfway through the turn, they said, Rebbe, don't tell us anymore. It's getting too uncomfortable. We're getting too close to home. So I always tell them the following. That what's the fast way, the fastest way to be Mechal Shabbos with Bishul? Fastest way to be Mechal Shabbos with Bishul.
Put the pot cover back on.
Oh, so.
Put a
team, maybe a couple. Yeah, that's already, that, yeah. But the simple way, Menachem's on the right track. The simple way. You come home from Shul Friday night, and you're curious what your mother cooked for Shabbos. So you go, you open up all the pots, you look inside, Meshmekt. And you close them up again. If any of them are not fully cooked, then you violate Bishul and Shabbos. So this is a very, very crucial point. It's crucial in many regards. First of all, to be very careful about what you do around the fire on Shabbos. And this really brings us to a notion of Rav Henkin. So Rav Henkin was, let me just introduce him a little bit. Rav Henkin, Zatzal, was Nifter already 40 years ago in Chodesh Av. His 40th Yahrzeit just passed, this past summer. Rav Henkin was from the world's greatest Poskim. And he also lived on the east side, and he and Rav Moshe had a super derech eretz for each other. I mean, he was what? Goinei Olam. It's interesting, he was a Rav in Europe before he came here. And he had a shul here on the east side. But most of his life, interestingly, that in the United States, he spent running a stock organization, Ezra's Torah. You know, and people called him from all over the world with every type of shayla in the world. He was a tremendous goyim. And he passed in the shaylas for them. And at the end of the year, he gave the stock organization back the money for all the time he spoke on the telephone. And they were appalled because they said the sole reason that people give money to the stock organization is because you're here. If you wouldn't be here, nobody would look at us. But it was to no avail. They didn't help them. And he lived. He was a gadol that was out of the era of the Chofetz Chaim. I mean, these furnishings of his house were extremely bare. And he was a tremendous, tremendous gadol. His famous story with him was that he was a rov in a town. He was coming to see a rov in a town in Europe during the First World War. And he's sitting in the waiting room, and there's another yid sitting in the waiting room waiting to go in. So he asked this yid, no, he says, and it strikes up a conversation, do you learn? He says, no, I learn when I have time. You know, that's the way this yid answered him. So he goes inside, the rov calls him in, our rov is waiting, so the rov called him in. And did you see that young fellow sitting in the waiting room? He said, yeah. He says, I don't know what to make of him exactly. So he told him, that young man waiting in the waiting room is a goyin olam. And I, for whatever, for political reasons, I have to run away from the city, and I can't be here. Now, it's too dangerous for me to be here. So I need somebody to be in charge of the city when I'm away, so that's what he's coming here, because I'm telling him all the things that he has to take care of when I'm away, that he should oversee them during the war. And that was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish and his offer, when I have time, I learn, you know. So Rav Henkin Zatzal said that one of the things we have to be very, very careful about is that the food should all be fully cooked before Shabbos begins. Said why? For the reason Menachem mentioned, you know, curious people that open the pots. But even if you don't have the curious, but the practice that we have, and particularly among the Ashkenazim, it's true, is that we move the food around the blecha on Shabbos. We don't leave it in one place. Usually we don't want the house to get too hot, so we don't put on too many fires Friday night. So we have the things we need right away Friday night, and the things we don't need so quickly. So the things we need earlier by the fire, the other ones are further back, and then we keep pushing them up to the fire as, you know, space empties out. So he says, because we put things closer to the fire, so we have to be concerned. If I have a pot on the fire and it's not fully cooked, so I'm going to be over bishul by moving it closer. So Rav Henkin was very, very strong for that reason, that all the food should be fully cooked before Shabbos. Otherwise, the likelihood of not violating Shabbos is not very great. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Zatzal came in a different context to the same type of notion, which is the following. When we talked about Shehiyah, leaving things on the fire as Shabbos begins, with the concern that will change the heat setting. So the halacha, nimnu v'gomru, that if something has only one heat setting, that there's no Isur of Shehiyah. In other words, an electrical appliance that only has an on and an off, so there's no Shehiyah, because you can't adjust, the whole concern is I'll adjust the heat upwards. You can't adjust the heat upwards, there's only one heat. The only other choice is to turn it off. So they learn, they could have said either it's a light plug or the Gzera doesn't apply. Nimnu v'gomru, the Gzera doesn't apply to this case. So now, that being the case, we ought to come to the following, that if I have a hot water urn, I should be able to fill it up right before Shabbos and let it cook up on Shabbos itself. Because there's no Shami Echota, because you can't adjust it. Now, the fact that something cooks on Shabbos, you have to disabuse you of that notion. There's no Easter on things cooking on Shabbos. You can't cook on Shabbos without a blech because you may come to adjust the fire. But the mere fact that they cook on Shabbos is no Easter. In fact, the Gemara itself talks about Kedera Chaisa. If you put up a pot of food which was raw or has something, a piece of meat or a bone, that's going to take hours and hours, and no matter what you do, it will be impossible to have it ready for the Friday night meal, then you could put it up right before Shabbos without a blech. Right, so it happens to eat some Gemara Mufureshes. So you should hypothetically be allowed to put up the water right before Shabbos. But the Moshe Zatzal said you shouldn't do it. Not osur, just unwise. Why? Because if you take water out before it's fully cooked, then the rest of what's there is going to cook more quickly. And therefore you're going to be over bishul in that fashion, by causing the rest of the water to cook more quickly, because you'll reduce the volume, and therefore what's left will cook faster. So therefore, he said, you should not do such a thing. If you have to do such a thing for some reason, then you should put some type of simmon onto the, you know, put a cup, you know, and write, do not use, do not touch until further notice on it, so people don't take water out in the interim. Now, what are the shilas? There are the shilas in bishul. There's a favorite yeshiva shishayla. I don't, and that is when you have the coffee urns, with the tube on the outside, showing the water, how much water there is inside. Now the tube tends to be cooler than the inside of the pot itself. So is there a bishul problem that when you take water out, that water goes inside the pot? So is there a bishul problem with it or not? Principally, I don't think that there is, for more than one reason. Number one is, I wound up, I was up in the country, and I happened, for some odd reason, I had a food thermometer in the car. So I went to an old urn. It wasn't a new one. I unscrewed the top, unscrewed, and I put the food thermometer inside, and it registered 165 degrees. And that's with an old one, which is not at peak performance anymore. Now, 165 is, according to our motion, we said the Yatzal Ed is between 120 and 160. 165 is certainly above Yatzal Ed. So that's number one. Probably it's above Yatzal Ed. Number two, Acharei Kechlei Sakoil, it's a psikration of Lonichale. There's so little water in there, and the totality of the water in the urn, it really doesn't make a difference. So Pashtis, it's a psikration of Lonichale. And a little bit one could argue that Chaloka Derachamalocha, without getting into that klal today, what that means. So consequently, it's mutter. If you want to be extra careful, then take out a cup or two of water before Shabbos, so the water in the tube goes back into the pot and mixes with the hot water inside. And then when you close it, new water will jump up in there. It'll be mixed with the water inside the pot. It'll certainly be mevushal. The water you took out, you can dump back into the top again. So if you want to be extra careful. When you take out water, the water goes down in the tube totally and goes into the pot, and then when you close it, then the water level rises again. So the water that's going to come in after, the second time, once you take water out, there's water coming from the pot which was cooked already. So if you want to be yoytzei all possibilities, you could do that as well. But I don't think me'ikra the din, I don't think there's a chayvus to do that. So therefore, it's a psikreish l'nichola. You don't care. If it would be a massive amount, it would cool off the water inside.
Like the droplets?
Yeah, it's whatever. It's part of a similar type of cheshbon. But it's also cheshbon, probably it's hot enough anyhow. Now, the issue of bishul acha bishul. So, for the Ashkenazim by liquids, it's a minor problem. It's just about anything you leave on the blech, once you got it hot, it's not going to get totally cool on the blech. Still going to be warm. So as long as it's warm, there's no bishul acha bishul according to the Ashkenazim. According to Sfaradim, once it goes below Yad Soledis, so when it goes below, come back to Yad Soledis, I'm going to define it, but when it goes back below Yad Soledis, so then, and then you raise it above Yad Soledis, again, according to the Sfaradim, it's bishul acha bishul. So for Sfaradim, we have to be very, very careful that the liquids stay very, very hot on Shabbos. They shouldn't get, never get too far from the heat. So that's something, whatever, it's a significant difference in the halacha lemaisa between the Svardim and the Ashkenazim in that regard, in terms of the bishul, acha bishul.
There's only liquids, right?
Liquids, liquids, yeah. So you have a lot of Svardim talmidim, Rabbi Zlatnik, so, you know.
They don't even make
hamotzi on your challah. Yeah, sure. Yes, Sfaradim only make a mortar challah. So if there's anything else mixed in, any other flavoring mixed in, no matter how minimal, they make mezonos and not hamotzi. The Ramot and Paschim like that. So all the Sfaradim for Shabbos, for the Lechem Mishnah, they all use mortar challahs. Yeah, matzah is because that's tamazinus, crackers. You know, the Sfaradim, I'm surprised, the Sfaradim did everything, but this is one business they never wanted. The matzah business, they didn't go into Sfaradim. You know, they made matzahs for Pesach. But our type, and the truth is, some of them didn't even have our types of matzahs, like the Syrians. They had softer matzahs. But even if they had hard matzahs, but they didn't make them the whole year. So this was only for Pesach, and the rest of the year was a cracker. By us, it became something to eat a whole year, so we use it as lechem. So Mameila has a din lechem to it. Now, it's important to know the processes that take place to produce something, because that dictates, obviously, if there are issues of bishul or not. So I first want to, like soup croutons, for example. Soup croutons are not baked. They're fried, deep fat, fried in oil. So, mamela, all the chayach with them is bishul acha bishul. This ain't bishul acha bishul. They were cooked already once. So you can put them wherever you want into the soup. There's not going to be a bishul issue with them. Now, one of the you know, definitions are sometimes hard to come up with, to define things clearly. So we said we have an issue of afia, or rather bishul after afia. We have the same issue in reverse too, of tzli after bishul. So the shaila is the following. It's a din in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Yud Ches, I believe, Sif Tes Vav, which says the following. That you can take a cooked piece of meat or a cooked piece of chicken and put it kli agabi kli on top of another pot on Shabbos and warm it up, even if it gets yatzo lettuce in the new place. So there is a famous kasha that Chofetz Chaim quotes from the Maimon Mordechai that he doesn't understand how you could do this. Are we the warming now? Is it dry heat or wet heat? It's dry heat. There's no liquid here. So we said, the Shulchan Aruch himself says that there's a problem of tzli after bishul. So this should be tzli after bishul. It's dry heat. And it was cooked previously with wedding. So why is it not proscribed? Because it's tzli achar bishul. And the same Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to do it. That's a kasha. It's a very cute kasha. And I don't believe that the Maimon Mordechai answered this kasha, as far as I recall. Now, the answer, an answer we find, it's interesting, both in the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how both said exactly the same answer to the question. Tzli doesn't mean you are warmed with dry heat. Tzli means you, the dry heat produced a roasted flavor. That's tzli. In other words, there's a difference, right? You make something at a barbecue and you cook a piece of chicken in a pot, but a boiled chicken and a barbecue chicken are two different types of chickens. You have a different taste. One tastes roasted, one tastes cooked. So they said tzli does not mean if you are warmed with dry heat. Warming with dry heat doesn't make it tzli. Tzli is that there's a strong enough heat that it gives it a roasted taste. That's tzli. So they said when you put something tzli on top of another tzli, it's not becoming roasted. Hot it might become, but roasted it's not becoming. It's not going to.
What's the difference between baked and tzli?
Same thing. There's no ultimate. Baked and tzli and roasted.
Tzli has a specific roasted taste. The answer that you give by tzli is the answer applicable by baking?
Which, by baking?
No, as he said,
oh, by baking you wouldn't have. Well, you're going to have it. No, my question is, I said something that was baked until now, and now it's going to be exposed to dry heat. I want to know, I mean, it was cooked until now, and now I'm putting it in a place that is dry heat.
It's tzli achar afia.
So it's doing, it's tzli achar bishul. I cooked it the first time around in water, and now I'm warming it with dry heat.
So, but how, and afia is the same? I mean,
afia is the same, yeah. That's the afia wouldn't have. The question is, what are you going to have? I mean, afia and tzli is the same thing.
Same thing.
So except it's only describing a different, you know, one is what we call baking and roasting. We use for different types of objects, but the process is the same.
But the unique taste is also...
The unique taste is tzli. That's what we're concerned with. I had something which was mevushel. And am I making it now? So now a piece of chicken is becoming tzli. So they say tzli is a taste that's tzli. That's tzli achar bishul. But if it doesn't taste any different, then it's not tzli achar bishul. Then it's bishul. It's just hot. You know, there's a difference. You know, in Allah, a lot of times, heat as its own din and its own factor, different than other din. I've had a shaila for a long time, and I'll give you an example of this. How to determine if you have a stove is vented, an oven is vented through the stovetop, does that heat make anything usher or not? What's the yardstick to determine that? In other words, I'm cooking fleishiks in the oven, and I have a parva milchik pot on the top. Does that heat make the pot usher or not? So I was searching for a means to quantify this. How to determine if it's mutter or osr or not. So in the summertime, I met Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Cholon. You know each other. And I asked him the shaila. So he gave me a brilliant definition. He said, is it only hot or do you find steam there? So let me explain. Heat is one thing. So you can have two kederas. I touch the milch kapara and the fleishik kapara. They touched each other. If there's no liquid, nothing happens. Go on. The milch kapara is milch, the fleishik kapara is fleishik. All the food is kosher. And there's no problem. If I mix a little bit of steam in between those two pots, then I'm in trouble. So he said the same is true. That was his. He says if it's only heat and there's no steam there, that's heat. Heat is the effect is not worse than steak kederas. So there is no problem. If there's moisture, then there's a problem. So heat is not necessarily, you know, heat in Hilchos Shabbos, heat is heat and tzli is tzli. They, you know, those are two different things. They don't necessarily have to have.
What's being vented? What's being vented on the
other? What?
Isn't the venting for the steam?
Well, it just because listen, heat also goes out, right? It's heat. You burned, you know, it's not necessarily steam. When you burn fuel, you have heat. The heat has to go out someplace. If it doesn't go out, you're gonna have an explosion. Nothing, it's not relevant what it is. Heat has to be vented. There's X amount of heat you can hold at a certain place. Okay, any questions, Rabbi Yisai? Yeah, Elias.
Was that challah and chicken soup?
Challah, if the chicken soup was a kli shlishi, it means you ladled it out into the plate and you didn't keep the ladle in there, just in and out, then you could put challah into a kli shlishi, into the plate of chicken soup. Just let me take Yossi and then I'll go back. If you have steam in the boss of a challah was a problem. But heat in and of itself is not a problem. Heat is not a medium which transfers things from one realm to the next. Okay, Elliot.
Yeah, we put things on a stone pile with a block on the list, but. What about, I hear about some people actually use ovens, I know it's not allowed, but why is it not allowed?
Use ovens for what?
They put food in...
When?
They cook it up before Shabbos.
So if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, or more than half cooked before Shabbos, then it's fine.
But I can put food in a warm oven, I mean with a fire on
it? Yeah, your question is you just test it. I can put food, once the food is past Yatzo lettuce, more than half cooked. I can keep food in the oven on Shabbos, except there has to be the temperature low enough that when I open the oven door, it's not a psikresha. In other words, it's not definite that the flame, the heat will come on of the oven.
Well, that they have that light thing, right?
Whatever, there are different ways, there are different settings, or the light, whatever. There's a lot of different ways. Some of it you can see, you can listen, whatever it is.
So you can put it in?
Yes. But as I said, you certainly, most... wise if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, because if it's not fully cooked before Shabbos, you have the same problem of Menachem. If you open the oven door and close it again, you're even bishul.
But he's talking about can you, if you didn't put it back in the oven?
No, not to put it back. Just leave it there on Shabbos. Yes.
So in other words, the blech that we don't require a blech.
If it's, we Ashkenazim don't require a blech if it's more than half cooked. End of discussion.
So when it's fully cooked, I could have the oven on and leave it in there, but there's no
chazar. Can't put it back in, correct.
What happened to the chicken soup? Is there a concern if I put the chicken soup and bring it directly on a double kosher in the chicken soup? Is there a bishul acharafia concern?
I would not think in that case that there is. One second. Well, if it hasn't been... If it's the whole, it's a kli shlishi already.
Yeah.
On the side that it's a kli shlishi, I wouldn't worry about it. Because according to one sheet, it's a kli shlishi, and then it's a chumra. We'll come back to where Rav Moshe was before.
What's the second chumra? Bishul acharafia?
Yeah. Yeah, Reuven.
Is there any shot to be able to make those ramen noodle type of things on Shabbos? You know, I don't know how they're made exactly.
If you hold it cliche, I don't know how they're made before, and I'm not sure. You'd have to first call up the kashrus agency and find out if they're pre-cooked. My suspicion is that they're pre-cooked because those are instant things, and you cannot make spaghetti instantly unless it was pre-cooked. So if it was pre-cooked, then on a cliche you certainly mutter.
The
cliche
would have to be like a tradition, so. The soup cup has to be the
shlishi,
cliche,
shlishi,
you have to pour from
the cliche. Pour from a cliche into it, then you find. Yes, Elliot.
What about these kadeira things? Is there a problem with
which kadeira things?
You know, they
have,
it's like a hot
clay,
I think.
Kadeira blech.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally was of the opinion that the kadeira blech was fine. It seems to have lost its popularity.
Melfi apparently didn't like it.
Yeah, I did not have a problem with it.
Get the water inside the
what? Yeah, I did not have a problem with it. But it looks like it lost its popularity. You don't hear about it anymore. It came, you know.
Works well.
I just don't see them in the market. You know, it looks like it had its day. Came and went.
What is it?
It basically, they made a pan that has water in it, and then they made a sheet pan that you put on top of it, which conducts the heat.
Like a steam table. Huh?
Yeah. Same type of idea.
And the warmers, in the first year we talked about this, and the warmers that we have like downstairs that has a dial.
Yeah.
So we don't cover the. Put anything,
No, we don't put any. Everything in there is fully cooked before you put it in. It does nothing. If it's not fully cooked, it's going to spoil. I mean, the kunst of these warmers is to get it very hot before you put them in the warmer, and then just maintain the heat. Okay, Rabbi Issa, I think we're going to hold it at this point. Rez Hashem, I hope next week we'll go on to Beir.
No, next week we're going to Beir, too. You have seen much? No? No.
Yeah, you remind me, and who is it? My shir told me at this. His town, some guy, a real Haredish guy went. A real Haredish guy went, and he was before the elections. He got up, he says, Brazil, climb in it, so he heard him. So they looked at him, a Haredish guy. He says, Brazil, they climb in me, climb in me.
And even on Isaiah, you'd say it's considered.
What?
Is it in the Chibur or is special? Like by Melech Chostum of Tara, I think it's a Mishnah that says that Isaiah has to be like enough to be the Tobiah.
That's always there, yeah.
That would be together. The vision is team.
Yeah.